So when I was a kid, my dad, he started off as he reminded me when I was just there to see him. And some people have been asking, you know, how did the drive go? If you were here 2 weeks before, it went well. I slowed down, and so it was great. Yeah. So if you prayed for me, thank you. But as I was with my parents, I was reminded about my father and how family was very important to him. He started off young, and he started off with a family right away, and his little motto was basically, you know, if my family wasn't welcome, I wasn't welcome. And which meant that children were to be heard and seen, not just seen and not heard, but they were heard and seen. And maybe that's a little bit in me, or some of the desires I have in church, is that my desire is that our young people are not just here to be seen, but to be heard. And as I have said before, our youth, our children are not just the future of our church, they are our church. It's who we are, because that's who God has brought together. And so I think traditionally, normally, maybe today would be our kickoff Sunday, but I just felt it would be great to hear from our youth and what happened to them this summer as they served at camp. And so this time I've chosen youth and our youth director to, he's gonna anchor the time of sharing, but I've asked them to share about their time at camp. And I've given them, the only instruction as I've given them is, give us one thing that God has touched you or taught you this summer. And secondly, you have 5 minutes, Chase. And I'm going to do a countdown. You're going to see two fingers go up. That means you got 2 minutes, and then 1 minute, and then I'm going to, because you don't want to steal anybody else's time, right? But I know that some of them could talk quite a bit. However, I really desire for us to hear what God is doing amongst our young people and what he did this summer. We love camp and we support camp. And this year we've had youth at Kuanos, and we also had youth at Imadine. And today we're just going to hear from the Kuanos side of things. And so I'm really looking forward to it. The verse that we're going to use to take us into communion is a verse that I want to use as well to bring us to what I want us to see and hear today. And it's Jesus, and it's the part where he says this to his disciples. He says, even the Son of Man came to be served, not to be served, but to serve. So even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. And whenever you do camp work, if you've ever done camp work, there's one thing that you have to learn right away. There is you're there not for yourself, but you're there to serve. And it gets long, it gets hard, but you're there to serve. And I think that's what you're going to hear a little bit of how in their service God spoke to them and touched them. So I've given an order of how they're going to come up, and they're just going to come up one after another. And so we're going to start off with Chase. So come on up, buddy. You're on.
Thank you. Hello? Oh, it is on. Thanks, Scott. Hello, Ocean View. As you know, my name is Chase. And so what most of the youth did this summer was a program called CIT, which is Counselors in Training. The only difference between the next three you're going to hear and mine is I did mine about 4 weeks before they jumped on. So my version of CIT was definitely a variation of what they got to learn. So what I'm going to talk about today is something God touched me in, but I also want to share a story that kind of, through CIT, just showed me what it is to kind of be a community like we are here in church today, and what it is to kind of connect with people throughout life. So my CIT kind of started off really, really out the window. Our male CIT counselor was in the hospital kind of sick for the first week. So all the boys kind of first day came in was just not sure what was going to go on. We were just a bit confused, trying to figure out who each other was, but at the same time trying to figure out, are we going to have a leader this summer, or are we just kind of on our own? And over the first week kind of going through, as much as it was us learning about each other and learning about God, we really started to kind of connect in a way that I've never experienced before, because we had an absence of a leader, where it caused people from our youth to step up in it, where in every night you would usually hear a devotional from maybe the leader, or you'd have one as an entire group. Each boy started individually, kind of stepped in, and we shared testimonies with each other, and we got to share devotionals with each other that you probably wouldn't have heard within the first week of CIT. Because when you're learning about each other, you're not usually in the place yet where you want to kind of share your entire life story. And so through this very first week, I really got to see God with all these boys, because as much as it was a learning of who I was myself, my relationship with God, I got to connect with kids in a way that I just didn't think was possible going into the start of this summer, especially with a group of teenagers, because we're all very different. And so I got to grow closer with these boys. I got to see that with the absence of a leader there, God decided to pick individuals out from this group of, I think it was 11 boys we had, to step up, rise up, and help out with each other. And it was just a very interesting thing to see. Now, kind of though, over my entire 7-8 weeks I spent at camp this summer, I really learned a lot about what it meant to be as a community with God. I met so many people. I got to reunite with others I hadn't seen in almost a year. And God kind of just shows that there's like a different kind of atmosphere when you actually don't just say you're Christian, but you act like it. And kind of just this love each person has for each other member there and for every kid that stepped into camp who was a believer, who wasn't a believer, who maybe was really closed off or just had a really bad experience with Christianity before. Or, like, you came into this expecting everybody to be there as a worker, but then you come out of it realizing that every person there isn't just there because they're there to work, but they're there because they're family members. They're there because they want to interact with you. They're there not because of the money. They're there because they want to help out. And there's a really magical thing to see, jumping onto this staff team I got to over the summer, jumping into the dish room to serve these kids, jumping on the maintenance team, scrubbing toilets to serve these kids, working down at the waterfront. Just seeing that even the smallest action in through you is the one way God might use you to connect with kids over this summer, that the kid might see something you do and then go back to their counselor and then talk to them about this. Because they're watching, they're not just wanting there to do the activities, they're watching each individual kid, staff member. They're watching how everybody interacts. When they see that someone's mad, they kind of don't see the magic anymore in it, in a sense. But when you see that everybody's happy, everybody's there that they want to be, it kind of changes their perspectives. And then the fact, like, you just see how many kids just see that every person there has something different and that they want it is just something very interesting to view. And that when you get to see kids, it's just a very magical thing that the kids' minds are just so open. And thank you.
Thanks for the chair. I really appreciate that. Anyway. I'm Abby, for those of you who don't know. And yeah, I did CIT too, so I was there like 4 weeks after Chase started. So I'll start off by saying going into CIT, I had tons of worries. Like, what if I don't make amazing friends? Because I had seen that Chase's CIT got super duper close. And I was like, what if that doesn't happen for me? And what if God doesn't drastically change my life? Yeah, so that's how I felt going in, and definitely not how I felt coming out. Anyway, I'll tell a little story. So during the Solitude WSP, which means worship, studied, prayer, we were assigned to spend time alone with God for about an hour. That's a very long time. Picture this. I was sitting facing a blackberry bush on dead grass that was yellow with ants crawling all over me. After a while, I asked God to show himself to me. I was really hoping it would be like then and there, like maybe through a sign of some sort, but God had other plans. As I reflect on CIT, I see the many places God showed up throughout the weeks. He gave me amazing friends that would constantly lift each other up. Not only that, but turn to God with like literally everything. I remember one of our CITs got hurt, and the first reaction from the group of us was prayer. We all huddled up and prayed for her. That was really cool. He gave me an amazing co-counselor who I was able to work with so well. He revealed himself to me when one of my campers was reading a storybook Bible to the other girls and how excited they were to read it. It showed me how God was working in the young girls' lives too. God placed the right people at the right time in my life to encourage and challenge me. As I was doing my morning devo with one of my friends, I could just see her excitement to read the Bible. She's a new Christian. She'd read through the Gospels, and she's like, I learned all about Jesus, right? And then she's like, I got to learn about God now. So she went through, started at the beginning. And it was her excitement just to learn more really challenged me and reminded me how precious and amazing God's word is. Testimony night was a big night for me. I was really nervous going in. I was like, what if I totally mess up? What if the girls don't listen in the cabin? And the biggest worry that I had is, what if they ask questions that I don't know how to answer? Just before we were about to go into the cabins, the leaders prayed over us and the cabins that we were going into. I just remember being in tears. I could feel the Holy Spirit was doing amazing things that night in the hearts of the kids we shared too. I headed into the cabin I was paired with. I shared my testimony, and guess what? The girls listened and had questions and wanted to know more. I finished up answering the questions and headed out. I knew that there were seeds planted and God was at work that night in the hearts of those girls. As I think back on how I asked God to reveal himself to me, he did in so many different ways. This taught me that God answers prayers, just not always how we want or expect. It's better. His plans are best. As we see in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and those who have been called according to his purpose. Yeah, so that's the biggest thing that I learned in CIT.
Hey everybody, I'm Naomi. I should probably start with, this is like nowhere near everything I learned in C. I was talking to Abby a couple days ago, and we're like, there's no possible way we could do this without taking like a good 38 hours. So, I tried to stick to a few main points, but if you guys have any questions, we are here after service. So, just saying. So, if you guys don't know, Quanos has an amazing staff. Amazing staff team, and there's been so many staff members that have a huge impact on my life and my relationship with God, some of which are sharing on stage with me, but hearing and seeing how God spoke through them, staying at just the right times, and how they let God shape them is incredible. This year especially, I noticed how much power prayer has. I remember also the night of our testimonies. After we had our group prayer, we were headed out to the cabins, and we were assigned to. Mine was supposed to be near the end of a trail, so we get to the last cabin village. And it was just me and one other girl, and there's head counseling at the cabin I was supposed to go to. So she went off to her cabin, and we find out there's a problem in the cabin I was going to go to, so I have to go to another one. So we backtrack until we find a cabin that wasn't taken, and after the counselors in the cabin were, like, debriefed, I headed in and told the kids my testimony. Honestly, I didn't really feel like it interested the kids at all. And after I prayed, I headed back. The next day, one of my CIT leaders came and told me she had heard in staff meeting that had changed the kids a lot, and they were more open to God. I remember after CIT, Leah, which is one of the leaders, said CIT was tough for me, but I needed it. The more I think about it, the more I agree. I struggled with so much in CIT, and I still do, but I grew so much. Thinking back through all the times I cried, even in the first week alone, and how quick people were to help, the deepness we were able to share, talking with honesty, I can't help but agree. One time specifically, I was down at the dock with Leah, and I realized one of my biggest fears, if not the biggest fear, is that people will leave me. because I'm not worth it. Which led to my devotional the week after, which is, even if people abandon you, God won't. Hearing many stories about how God has led people to CIT and his work in their life, or debating theological morals as we walk back from event, it was so great to have the family of CIT. Another incredible thing in CIT was the sessions and book studies, where we learned about sanctification, servant leadership, the massive separation between a holy God and us sinful mortals, the bridge between us and Jesus, our identity, and so much more. And counseling, learning patience for impatient campers, questions at 1 a.m. about where heaven is and what angels look like, and their ongoing pursuit to try to get me engaged to anybody around my age. It was great. I realized God's love for little children. But one thing I really loved was the family of CIT. Whether it was worshiping in the gender-neutral hallway, talking the time away in book study, paddle boarding, praying over our cabins, baking because it was so hot in the sessions, writing and receiving notes, getting my hair braided, listening to the ABCs in staff lounge when I was planning on napping during my off time, talking late into the night about who knows what, piling on the couch, dancing in the back of Q-Town, singing and screaming Jesus loves you until our voices died on the bus, or hearing each other's testimonies. I'm so glad God put me where I was. He brought us closer together in laughter and tears and hugs, while also bringing us closer to him. And I don't ever want to forget it.
Hello, I'm Hudson. This is super epic. I was part of CIT2 with Naomi, Abby, and everybody here except for Chase. So I'll just get right into it. At camp, I experienced and helped kids experience God's love in many ways. I experienced God's love through the people there who were absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit, through reading the Bible and understanding how much God loves me, and through the beautiful scenery around me, knowing God created all of this to show he loves us. I helped kids experience God's love through a program called CIT, the Counselor and Training Program, where we helped out with activities, did Bible sessions, and co-counseled. One night, as a part of CIT, we were asked to share our testimonies with the cabin. I was super nervous to share my testimony, but I was also excited because I knew God could work through my testimony and help bring these kids closer to Christ. When I was writing my testimony a couple days before I had to share it, I prayed that I'd be able to speak through the words I wrote down and that the kids' hearts could be opened. Before we went into the cabins to share our testimonies, we prayed together for the kids at camp, and that we prayed that they'd be able to experience God's love through us. I walked down to the cabin that I was sharing at, and I began sharing my testimony with them. After I was done speaking, there were no questions, so I just went back to the field and then to bed. I felt like because there were no questions, I had not impacted any of the kids at all. The next day, after a Bible session, Morgan, the assistant CIT coordinator, came up and asked me to talk. She told me that Daniel, the leader of the cabin where I had shared my testimony, had spoken with her. He said that after I left, the kids started asking questions about what it means to be saved and about what repentance is. Daniel believed that without my testimony being shared in that cabin, many of those kids would not have opened up and wanted to learn about salvation. A similar thing happened when we had to share our devotionals. We were given the task of sharing devotionals with a different cabin, so I decided to do my devotional on forgiveness. After I shared my devotional, the campers in the cabin had no questions, so I left for the night. The next morning, the campers from the cabin I shared my devotional in asked me if I could have a sleepover in their cabin and share another devotional with them. I ended up spending the night in their cabin and doing a devotional about the prodigal son. Through all this, I learned that even when we don't see God working in our lives, he is.
So my name's Bryce. I'm a little bit older than the rest of those that shared. I did the CIT program at Kwanos 5 years ago, and I've spent maybe a little bit too much time at camp. But that's okay, because this last summer was a very special summer for me personally. I got to lead 6 boys to know and accept Jesus into their hearts for the first time. I'll get you guys to hold your applause. Hold your applause. We got some more things to just celebrate together as a congregation. I got to witness God work a miracle in bringing a friend of mine from high school to actually have to accept Jesus into her life. And then 3 months later, she had an encounter with him, which radically changed her life, which was awesome. I also got to be a part of 2 different baptisms, one of them being Chase, and then another one being a past camper of mine. And also, the program that I got to lead, I didn't directly do this, but the program saw 6 other kids give their life to Jesus. Now you guys can applaud and celebrate everything God was doing. So, and even through all those, there were so many other lives that just heard about Jesus for the first time that we got to experience, let alone the hundreds of others that weren't in my little region that I got to impact. But I could spend a lot more than just the 5 minutes talking about all the significance of this last summer for me. But I think one of the biggest things is just what a privilege and what an honor it is to be able to be chosen to be a part of God's plan for so many people, not only just changing their lives, like changing their lives here on earth, but changing their lives for eternity. And there's a certain weight that comes with that, and it's just a fantastic honor. So, camp has been a very special place. But the big idea of what I want to share with you guys that God showed me this year was similar to what Hudson was sharing, is how the impact that we can have when we don't see the fruit come from it. And even on top of there being an impact when we don't see the fruit, the importance of persevering and continuing to show up when it doesn't necessarily seem like anything is going on a deeper level. Why do I say this? Because God will show up in his timing. And just knowing that each of us have a part to play in God's plan, and that God has a part to play in his plan, but also knowing that we cannot mix up those responsibilities, those roles, those parts. I'm going to share 2 stories that demonstrate this from the summer. So one of my campers this summer, right after sharing my testimony on the first night, he connected with me right away because we both had similar stories where we both had fathers that at young ages went through cancer treatments. He shared that right away out the gate, like, we were just talking about it, sharing our experiences. And he says, yeah, just so you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in Jesus. This is just who I am. Later on, he shared a little bit deeper of why he wouldn't be able to believe in God. But one of the things that stood out to him on the second day, so he might have been at camp for 38 hours, and I'm sure you, if you've been listening to any of the other people sharing, you would have also heard this, but he said to me, I thought you were really childish at first. Then I realized that you're more like a father to some of the staff, and you just know how to have a good time. That was a great compliment, by the way. But there's definitely something different about this place in the way that you and all the other staff care for each other, which is really, really impacting that, you know, it was by our love that he was able to see that there was something different. Little did he know that, you know, we attribute that all to God, but our role, mine and the staff's role to play for this revealing to this camper was just in the way that we acted with each other and how we loved each other. Another story, during our pre-summer prep at camp, we call it Advanced Crew, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to write a devotional for SeaQuest, where we would just be able to sit and be still, admiring God's creation just by sitting, looking at the stars, and meditating on some of the scriptures. Now, I never actually got to do that devotional at Sequest, just the way that our schedules worked out. When I planned to have it, it was already a late night, and we were having to wake up at like 5 a.m. the next morning to go kayaking. Did not work, didn't want to push our kids to mental and sleep exhaustion before physical exhaustion. And I was kind of a little bummed, because I really felt like, man, I really wanted to write this devotional, and I felt inspired to do so, but I never actually got to do it. Fast forward nearly 4 months later, so that was like beginning of June, and fast forward to 2 weeks ago. I was leading a cabin at youth camp with Chase, who was one of my campers. And we won a sleepout on the night of the night game. The good thing was no one wanted to sleep out. Thank you, Jesus. Because, man, that would have killed me. But because we had put all this effort at Quantos, when you get the cleanest cabin, you win cabin cleanup. I decided I still wanted to celebrate the win that we got and how we still want to make it special. So it was all God's timing, because I'd never seen a more spectacular night with the stars. I've never seen, in the 7 years I've been at camp, the stars just shining the way that they did. 1 minute. I'll be quick. So I had that devotional in the back of my pocket ready to go. And unbeknownst to me, one of the campers had prayed only 2 days prior to get to experience a night like this under the stars, because for him, he really connects with the stars, because it's something that him and his father always do. We take the boys down, we do a devotional, and this boy I had been praying for and Chase had been praying for that God would reveal himself. He was just in awe, and I got to use that devotional. Later that night, this camper would choose to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior because of how God answered his prayer. And my role was only to just bring him into that place. So I will fast forward the rest that I was going to say, but something that's really, really important for me was just understanding how God has a role and we have a role. He has a part, we have a part. And oftentimes we want to step in and we want to do God's part for him. We want to speed up his work. But we can actually just rest and let him do his work, and we'll do our work. Oftentimes our work is just simple obedience, where maybe it's in like the song we sang earlier, just letting Christ be magnified in our life. Maybe obedience looks like less of me and more of Jesus. Maybe it's bringing the knowledge and bringing the gospel to others, or just living our lives as if Jesus actually changes our lives and transforms us into experiencing this abundant life that Jesus talks about. From those stories, there was nothing that I was doing in those that made that internal impact. I was just there, and I just showed up. One very, very quick story was one of the other baptisms that I got to be a part of was a camper of mine from 4 years ago. He was a difficult camper. He was someone who was kind of just like really opposed, and I could definitely tell there was just some deep hurt in his life. And so I tried my best to show him love, and then that was it. I didn't see him for another year, and he wasn't my camp in the next year, but he was still at camp, and I was like, yes, he's back at camp. But yeah, this last summer, 2 weeks ago, he got baptized, and he came up to me one of the nights after he got baptized, just in tears, and he just hugged me and just said, thank you, I'm proud of everything you've done. You have got me to this moment. And I was really honored to be a part of that, because to me, I didn't really do much at all. It felt like I didn't see any fruit from how I was trying to invest in him for that 1 week. And even though there wasn't fruit, there still was. So keep showing up, keep persevering, and I won't keep you guys with your time.
Thank you all for sharing. And you got more time only because others didn't take all their time. Yes. But it was good. And I appreciate, and hopefully as a church, just hearing what God is doing in their lives and challenge of what he's doing, what he's going to do in our lives. So this morning, as we want to come to a conclusion of our time through communion, I want to go back to the verse that I started with. And as we look at this verse, just to bring us into the communion, it's found in Matthew chapter 20. And the part that we're gonna focus on is this, is it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And I think, and I listen to the testimonies of our young people, they went and they served. And God, however you want to use me. And sometimes you get put into a place where you don't necessarily want to be. Okay, I'm going to be used, be giving my testimony. And I'm a little worried. I heard, I think each of you said, I was a little scared, a little worried about giving my testimony. But you're in a place to be served, where you want to serve. This little verse here comes from a time when two of the disciples' mothers came to Jesus and said, listen, I have a request for you. I want my sons to sit one on your right and one on your left. And what that means is that she wanted them to sit in the most important spots when Jesus reigned on this earth as a king, as a physical king. And one was going to sit on the right and one was going to sit on the left. And Jesus came to his disciples, and the other disciples found this out, and they got a little indignant. They got a little bit upset, like, why are you going and asking of this? Maybe I wanted that position. And Jesus draws them all together, and he says, listen. He says, the way that the kingdom of God works is different. Oftentimes we hear that God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. And I like to say this, God's kingdom is a right side up. We just happen to live in the upside-down kingdom. The kingdom that we live in is upside down. God's kingdom is right side up. And Jesus says, listen, this kingdom that you're going to live in, this kingdom that you're going to do, you're going to serve, is a kingdom that is to be right side up, meaning that you're here to serve and not to be served. You're here not to lord over people, but to come and serve. And so Jesus then says, listen, I have come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And I think as we take communion this morning, it's to focus in on that servant part in our hearts and say, why am I here? Am I here to be served? That God's going to serve me to give me what I want, to give me what I need? Or am I here to serve him, to give him what he wants and what he needs? I love the part that Bryce, you shared about how you had this devotional that you wanted to do, and yet you didn't do it, but you were faithful to do it, to put it together so that God could bring it about at his time. See, that's saying, God, I'm here to serve you and not to be served. And that's what this table is all about. This table is about a Jesus who has come and served us his life so that we do have a way to live. And so as you hold each of these elements, as you hold the cup in your hand that represents his blood, as you hold the bread in your hand that represents his body, that you remember that he gave his life, he served you to give his life so that you would have life. And have it abundantly. And now we get to serve him and those around us. And it transforms lives when we have a servant's heart.